Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, One a Day, where we talk about some part of a chapter of Scripture each day. This is May 30th, and we're to the end of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. Let's get to it. Are you familiar with the term watchword? If you're on night watch, you might call out 11 o'clock and all's well. If you're breaking the huddle to run the play, you might circle up and have everyone get their hand into the circle and say, go team, on the break or something. Other watchwords have defined missions or whole generations. Ours is not to reason why, ours is but to do or die. For God and country. He is risen indeed. Remember the Alamo. Or the watchword for Israel in Joshua's day was be strong and courageous. For that matter, some churches and most organizations have some purpose statement, mission statement that drives every decision in the organization. It's like an advertising slogan. It captures the mission in an image and a word or phrase. A watchword emboldens and unifies a group. Here's a multi-point watchword that Paul uses as he's closing his letter. He says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. That's five little watchword statements. Let's break them down. Be on your guard. Paul had said to be watchful earlier in the letter. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. We're told to be watchful in prayer. We're told to watch out for the devil who prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We're told to be watching for the day of the Lord. We're told not to be misled about relationships. And when we let down our guard and we coast, we're likely to lose control and end up somewhere we never intended to be. So be on your guard. Then he says, stand firm in the faith. Do not sit or lie down in the faith, right? Stand. Do not walk around either. Stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Do not yield your ground. You don't have to be mean to people around you, but if you don't have your footing, then you're likely to be blown about by every wind and wave of doctrine that comes along. And be sure that where you've planted your feet is in the faith. Don't try to stand in the goodness of men or to stand in love or to stand in your own goodness. The only foundation that can set your feet into is that of faith. More particularly, he says, the faith. Trust in the resurrected Jesus, in the Scriptures, in the power of the Spirit. Let that be your foundation and support. Then he says, be courageous. This sounds like that watchword from Joshua, be strong and courageous. In the King James Version, he says, quit ye like men. Which seems like a mysterious wording for meaning, but act like men is my favorite way to say it. As a man and a teacher of men, I like to think, what does a true man act like compared to a boy or compared to a poser? I think we all learn how to be men by watching others, mimicking what we see in them. So most, not all men, learn how to gesture, to carry things, to pronounce their words, to dress, so much more, like a man. It's all cultural, it's not genetic, but how else could you explain the amazing uniformity of those things I just mentioned? It's because we imitate men who influence us. So my next question is, why not learn to imitate men in the most essential areas? How to pray, how to love your wife, how to talk to children, how to keep your word, how to resolve conflict, how to respond to potential sources of irritation, how to love, how to be courageous in the face of danger. What kind of danger, you say? Why would we need to be courageous, you ask? What is there to be afraid of? Well, I'm going to let that sit unanswered, assuming that the answer is implied by the question. Anyway, next he says, be strong. You know, don't be weak. Don't back down in the face of temptation or opposition or doubt or loneliness or discouragement or theological arguments or depression or corruption or the company of immoral people. Remember yesterday's lesson about bad company corrupting good morals. It's standing up to peer pressure, you might say. Be strong. Do not be weak. Do not compromise. Do not give in. Do not, what's the word, loiter, as they say on the signs, or solicit. Instead, be strong, be bold. And then lastly, he says, do everything in love. after all those sort of manly admonitions about being on guard and standing firm and being strong and courageous, this one seems to head off at a different angle. Whatever you do, do it all in love, which again was the point of chapter 13. It summarizes and balances all the rest by addressing the motive behind every other act. You can be strong, but you could be a spiritual bully while you're doing it. But if you do everything in love, then you're never being oppositional or disrespectful, even when you're in the midst of a spiritual battle. So if you're doing everything in love, you're always patient, always kind. You're never envious, never boastful or proud. You honor others. You don't seek your own ways. You're not easily angered. You keep no record of wrongs. You don't delight in evil, but you rejoice with the truth. You always protect, always trust, always hope, always endure. You will never fail. Amen. Well, may you learn to act like a man today and forever. Amen.